In this podcast, I talk with Kelly Singer. She works at Institut Lean France, and she started a group called Lean Green Institute. So I talked to her about her experiences starting out in the U.S., and she started in Eastern Washington, moved over to Seattle, and spent some time in Los Angeles, then went over to Paris, France a couple years ago, and started working with this group and setting up this Lean Green Institute. So we discuss the differences between Europe and the U.S. and their sustainability initiatives, and her experiences and how she sees the connection between Lean and Green as such a pivotal way of helping organizations achieve their corporate social responsibility. We also talked about some nonprofit work that she had done in the past, and along with my experiences and some of the things I've been working on. So I think you'll really enjoy this interview.
So welcome, Kelly. Thank you for joining me on the podcast. And I just wanted to go through and learn a little bit more about your background and have you kind of explain how you've gotten into this approach around lean and green. And I guess the easiest way would be to start at the beginning and then kind of work your way up to currently where you're at with the Institute of Lean France and kind of how you've brought in lean concepts at first and then how you brought in the green part of it and then kind of where you're going with Lean France and where you guys are moving forward, especially with the recent Lean Green Day you have.
Sure. So my background is in consulting. I was in operations management consultant, so that's how I first came to know and love Lean. Okay. And that was in Seattle. So I'm actually originally from the east side of the state, from Yakima Valley. Okay. But then I went to school at, I lived in LA for a bit and then eventually wanted to move back to the Pacific Northwest. So moved to Seattle and lived there for about 10 years before my husband and I decided to pursue an opportunity in Europe. And we've been here now for 2.5 years. But through consulting, I came to know about, became pretty passionate about lean because I felt like if it was used correctly and really, you know, like from the ground up and from the top down, from all members and levels of the organization, I was just a true believer in the results that this methodology could produce. And the beauty of it is really just keeping, you know, the customer at the center of everything that you do. And a lot of companies say that they do that, but and you're a consultant, so I'm sure that, you know this too, really at the end of the day, a lot of times they'll say, yes, you know, we love the customer. Customer is always, you know, it's customer center of our universe, but really profitability is the center of the universe. And they're willing to betray the customer a bit in order to become more profitable. And yeah. So, but, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with Toyota here, Toyota Europe, and seeing how they truly, you know, put the customer above everything, above profitability, you know, even sometimes above what might seem like common sense, and seeing how that has really helped them become what they are today, it's pretty incredible. So, anyway, I'm a big believer in lean, and from the green side, you know, growing up and living in the Pacific Northwest, it's kind of something that we take for granted, and I didn't realize that until we moved abroad and, you know, lived in other areas around the U.S., and sorry, my son just walked in the room. So
That's all right. No problem.
It's my second job when I get home.
Yeah.
And so I forgot what I was saying. Oh, so the green side. And I was able to work with the Seattle Parks Foundation on a project to install green gyms. And the idea was to not only make public space more usable, so putting in like outdoor athletic equipment, but also more safe. You know, the more people in the park, the safer it is. And so we were really trying to target lower income neighborhoods to not only help them become more healthy, but also make their neighborhoods more safe because making the parks more usable. And so that's how I started to really, you know, become more involved in, or I guess, gain my social awareness from like a corporate social responsibility standpoint. And so, you know, it was just kind of a natural pairing to think about, oh, you know, we should really be using, there's a lot of inefficiencies in government, as I'm sure you can imagine. And, you know, it's just, once you know about lean, you can't forget it. You know, it's one of those things that once you know it, you just can't forget it. And so it's natural to think about lean solutions when you work in, if you know about lean and you work in CSR to start to pair the two. And so that's really where I saw, I think a missing opportunity for lean is on the social front. And when we moved to France, it was just right before the Paris Climate Agreement happened. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there was just so much excitement and energy about climate and about the environment in Paris at the time when we moved here. I think I just kind of caught that bug and was like, yes, you know, like here's the way, here's the chance for lean to really make an impact, you know, because it's the idea of, you know, waste reduction can obviously be applied to environmental waste. And we can go into this further, but also just kind of redefining what it means to, or who our customer is, and really viewing the planet as our customer. And when we take the lean approach and view the planet as a customer in that sense, it just completely changes our value streams and what we're trying to, our strategy as a company. So, you know, I think once those two things clicked, I was in. So, it's been really wonderful to be, I think the Pacific Northwest is like this too. You know, you're just around people who you don't have to fight the emotional challenge with them. They already get it. They see that the environment is critical in order for their own sustainability as a company. Mm-hmm. That they have to be thinking about, in order for them to be successful, the planet also has to be healthy and successful and survive, you know. So it's been great just to work with companies who are willing to experiment and kind of figure out what it means to be lean and green.
Are you finding that the companies in Europe are similar in thinking around the Pacific Northwest in terms of sustainability, or is it a hit or miss in terms of what you've seen so far?
I think they're more advanced, but the reason why they're more advanced is because there's a government mandate. The European Union has pretty strict mandates that each country has to produce or put into law to meet in order to, you know, to stay in the union. And those require a certain amount of carbon emission reductions, water reduction, recycling. Each industry has different mandates that they have to meet. And so that's something that's mostly driven by the private sector in the U.S. I think just now, you know, you see states like Washington and California, they're starting to regulate carbon emissions a bit more. Fossil fueled cars, there's different, you know, taxes and just incentives are starting to change to benefit those companies who are thinking more environmentally. And I think that's been in the works for a long time in Europe. So that's been really interesting to see, you know, how these things, it's like the chicken or the egg, you know, what really can cause social change and environmental change to happen quickly. And I think it's just been interesting to see the role that government has played in making that happen. So
speaking of government, go back to the Seattle Parks project you work on.
Yes.
You worked on.
Uh-huh.
Tell me a little bit about the balance of the lean and sustainability piece of that. Did you come in with lean background already and then bring that to the table? Was there already kind of a sustainability element to it, or were you able to bring some of that to there? I was just kind of curious kind of what you came into with that project. Or was that what kind of, you brought your lean skills and then you noticed that the sustainability piece fit in nicely there?
Yes. So I already had the lean experience but it was mostly from tech, you know, tech and healthcare, and some okay. manufacturing operations. So I really hadn't worked much on the social front other than just, you know, like in my personal life, volunteering and that sort of thing. Actually working with a company to improve, again, kind of like tweaking who the customer is, you know, more on like viewing the customer as like society in general. I had never really thought about it that way. And so I think that's where I started to piece the two together. So I brought lean to the table and then learned that this role was really about enhancing public space.
Right.
You know, improving the quality of life for everyone who lived in Seattle, regardless of their background.
So can you talk a little bit more about the other volunteer work you might have done? Have you been able to apply concepts of lean to that work yet, or was that kind of later you kind of connected the dots on lean and nonprofit or kind of a element around that?
I mean, now I do it. I sit on several nonprofit boards in Paris, and that's okay. kind of my like expertise. And I would, I think that that's a great way for other, you know, consultants or, you know, individuals who are really knowledgeable in leaner operations who want to get involved is to, you know, serve on a board, because I just think that there's so much valuable experience that they can bring to a nonprofit. And then in turn, they also, you know, get such great exposure to this CSR component that is really critical for our society to continue to thrive. So I think that it's just a great learning experience. And but before, I was involved with some like leadership groups, and you learn like the basics on, you know, how to run a meeting and, you know, how to, I don't know, just like kind of basic management stuff, which is helpful for sure. But at some point it all was just kind of like checking the boxes, it felt like to me. You know, it's like when you work in a really large company and, you know, I've been reading several articles about this in Silicon Valley right now, where it's just kind of like a monoculture. People kind of think the same and they use the same terminology. And, you know, I kind of felt like these more like businessy clubs or leadership clubs were kind of felt like that to me a bit. You know, it's like there was a right way to run a meeting and there was a wrong way to run a meeting. And there was a right way, you know, to write an agenda and a wrong way. And all that's like fine and good, especially if you want to work in like government or, and especially in Europe, they're very, you know, they like their teeth crossed and their I's dotted. But I think from an innovation standpoint, you know, we need to inspire people and to teach people how to inspire others and how to tell, how to get people to care, you know, because I think we're just so bombarded with data these days that we just become numb to these issues. You know, I always say, like, the saddest statistic about the environment is that we already know all the sad statistics and we're not doing anything, you know. We're like, yeah, you know, we know we're doomed, but, you know, oh well. When we could really actually be making a change, you know. So I think I totally got off topic on that question, but
No, that was good. I think the kind of getting involved on a board, and to your point, maybe do you get the opportunity to actually go in and change the process or make them more efficient about their mission, or get in and actually apply lean concepts or not, or is there a lot of other things going on there that before you actually get into some of the details?
Yeah, I think one thing that most nonprofits really love about lean is, you know, if you can teach them about visual management, and it's just such a great way to get the message and, you know, like the objective across the entire organization really quickly. Because often, you know, these organizations are so, they're strapped for financial resources, but also for human capital resources. They, you know, you have people doing two or three jobs when they wish they could hire two or three more people. And I think, I really think that the visual management piece of Lean is really interesting for, that's what I've seem to find, is that they really kind of latch onto that. And then also just like the problem solving and thinking through, you know, like the five whys and using an A3 things, those type of tools are really, they give a language to everyone to use and a framework for people to try to, you know, get to the bottom of the real problem that's happening. So.
Mm-hmm. Great. So did you take schooling to get some of your background in Lean, or did you get that when you started consulting through the agency, or can you give me a little bit of background on just how you started learning?
Sure.
Some of these concepts?
Yeah. So I, the firm Point B offered, like an official certification process in Lean.
Okay.
So I went through that, certification process, and then, a lot of it, I mean, that was a great way just to learn like the basics. But I feel like Lean is really something, you know, just reading about it in a book is a little bit, you're still a little bit removed because, you know, there's always weird Japanese words. And, if you've never seen a manufacturing, plant, it's just kind of hard to imagine what like a Kanban system really looks like. And then, you know, if you haven't seen it in its like natural or original state, it's hard to think of how that can be applied to other industries. So, you know, that was one nice thing about consulting is that you do get to see a variety of different environments and industries and how Lean can apply, and can adapt to the industry, and to the problem. But I also think that there's a lot of self-learning that you can do. You know, the it's one thing about living in Europe is that I've been able to get to know Dan Jones, who is one of the authors of The Machine That Changed the World. And I think that that's really, I mean, it's a book that anyone who is somewhat interested in Lean should read. You know, even if you've not read it and you have a job, you should read it because I think it can... It can just, you know, change your way of thinking. And I just think it's, one of the best business books of last century. So,
I think I read that a long time ago, but I should go back and reread that because, Did he set up the Institute for Lean France?
He founded Lean Enterprise International, LEI, I think that's what it stands for, in Boston. And then from Enterprise Institute, yeah, thank you. There's so many acronyms, sometimes I get them mixed up. And then from there, different leaders in countries, individuals who were highly skilled in Lean could start their own country institute. And mm-hmm. so I linked up when we moved to France, I linked up with the Institut Lean France, and Dan Jones is he's just very involved with many of the institutes because he's kind of like the godfather, you know.
I know he set up the Europe, he's an amazing person. UK mm-hmm. one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For sure.
Yes, because he's British.
Sure he
yep.
influenced.
He's very close with the founder of the French Institute. So they actually just wrote a book together. And it's really wonderful. Yeah, called The Lean Strategy. So that's his most recent book. He hadn't written a book in a very long time. And it's another good one to read. It's a little more dense, and I think this one is more written for like the C-suite versus, you know, the Machine That Changed the World is more to read for everybody. But it's still, you know, very good. It's kind of like Lean 2.0.
Yeah, I also see that he was also the co-author on Lean Thinking, which was a very influential book as well. Yeah, it looks like he's got his hands in a lot of activity going on in Europe around Lean. So I figured he had something to do with the institute there. Yeah. Who is the one that, do you know who the history on how that got set up with? You said the founder of that group with Dan is co-wrote that. Who is that?
The founder of the French Institute?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, so Michael Ballet.
It is Michael. Founded, okay.
Yeah, Michael Ballet founded the French Institute.
Gotcha. I assume because I'd seen him in a lot of different.
Yes.
He's author of a lot of great books. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so they both have written on Lean Strategy. Okay, cool. I will have to check that out now.
Yeah.
And then, so are you, it looked like you're dedicated to kind of growing out the lean and green aspect of that. Is that true? Or what is your role, I guess, now with the Institute?
Yeah, so my role with them now is exactly, it's we've together launched the Lean Green Institute, which for the last, you know, year or so we've just been trying to define what it means and what it looks like to be lean and green. So mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity to visit several companies around Europe who have a very passionate CEO who is very, you know, mindful of the environment and all that they do. And they're thinking along these lines as well. And through Lean, they've been able to reduce their carbon emissions and water usage and increase their recycling rates and, you know, really just reduce their overall impact. So it's been pretty exciting to see that, you know, other people are connecting these dots and being able to learn from them. And really it's a collaborative effort because everyone brings something a little bit different to the table. And, you know, these industries are all different. They're anywhere from I worked with an aluminum smelter to a construction company to traditional manufacturing, office mm-hmm. consulting, you know, just really a wide variety of industries who are all trying to be more green in what they do. And I think one thing that we've all become aware of is that, you know, just because you're lean, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're more greener than another company. I mean, it might seem like you are at first, but, you know, there's plenty of other companies who are, you know, you don't have to be, lean can be used for any purpose. You know, it can be used by mm-hmm. a terrible dictator to be more effective at being a terrible dictator, or it can be used by, you know, a super awesome NGO to be more effective at what they do. And so it just really all depends on who's pulling your value and, you know, what value you're trying to deliver to your customer. And so I think that's one of the things we've been trying to communicate is that, you know, yes, you're more efficient, you know, yes, you have a smaller footprint and, you know, like an actual physical office footprint because you're really great at 5S, or, you know, you've become so efficient in your processes that you use less energy, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, you know, you could be doing a lot more because you're not truly seeing how you're impacting the environment throughout your entire value stream. And that takes everyone thinking about environmental improvement in their work, you know, to really make the biggest impact. And it also takes you also have to consider what the environment values versus just your traditional, you know, eco-conscious customer, because their needs change all the time. And, you know, they might hear one thing on TV today that they should be recycling more, and then tomorrow it's about they should buy an electric car. You know, so the eco customer, if they care about the environment, they're going to love anything that you do for the environment. You know, you need to make sure that your focus is in the right place.
Yeah, I think that, you know, getting companies to align what they're doing with their initiatives as well, you know, so they're not polluting over here and then they're trying to throw up some solar panels to kind of, I guess, take away from what they're doing, but maybe they should be focusing on the pollution that they're creating, and probably there'll be some financial benefits if they can do that. That comes off much better for companies than if they're kind of doing some green stuff that looks like it's very disconnected with their purpose or their mission or kind of what they really do impact directly. So.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, I mean, you see that with Toyota. They don't advertise. I don't know if you're familiar with they have 6 environmental challenges that they set in, I think, the year 2015 that they hope to reach by the year 2050. And, you know, they don't advertise these goals. They didn't do, like, a big media campaign. You know, it's not in the brochure when you buy a new Toyota car that they're, you know, doing good things for the planet. It's just because they realize that it's the right thing to do. You know, it's to be competitive in the future, they need to think about what the greatest challenges will be in the future. And the greatest challenge that we face, our environmental challenges, our natural resources. And so, you know, they're never on, like, the top 10 list of most environmentally conscious companies, even though they are extremely, extremely, extremely green and conscientious of their footprint. I mean, they're already a zero waste. They've been a zero waste company for over a year now. They have they've changed their entire manufacturing system. They switched to the TNGA last year, or maybe the year before. With basically the idea that they can easily dismantle and recycle their cars to turn them into new cars. I mean, like, no one else is thinking this way. You know, this is all theory in most other companies, or wishful thinking for, you know, in the future we hope to do that. But Toyota's already doing it now. You know, they're trying to create a whole new society based on hydrogen. And so it's something that it's just what they do. It's like their strategy, you know, they're not using it for a marketing campaign, like you were saying, or like greenwashing. They're using it for their competitive advantage.
Yeah. I went to the Georgetown, Kentucky facility a few years back and, you know, they touched on a little bit of their program, but when it got me enough interest to check to see what they were doing. And I looked at their website and, yeah, I was really impressed with all the stuff they were doing, and it was kind of not highly visible or publicized. You know, they had some stuff in their facility, but, I was just kind of blown away when I started looking through their environmental report and then some of the stuff that they'd done in the facility nearby and the kind of taking over the marshland and trying to, you know, create a good environment for wildlife and stuff and all the switching of their energy systems over. And yeah, I was definitely something that they could highlight a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting why they don't, because you're right. It could be. I mean, I'm sure it must be kind of irritating when they see these reports come out and they're never on it, but, you know,
right.
they've got bigger fish to fry.
And, yeah, I think that's part of kind of how they are, how they're viewed, is that they don't care as much about that stuff. I think they're really focused on bigger society issues, and I think that carries through in everything they're doing. So I think that's why they're pretty highly respected. And I'm going to link up all, like, the video to the – I can't remember the gentleman's name who was giving the presentation at the Lean Green Day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but, great. Steve Hope. That would be great.
Yes, Steve. So, yeah, so I'll link up all these links that we're talking about.
Okay, perfect.
Can you touch on the Lean and Green Day, how you came up with that, and get a little summary of how that went?
Yeah, definitely. So, like we were talking about before, you know, I feel like lean is most effective when we can tell stories about it, and because then other people can see how it can apply to their work. And so we had been hearing all these great stories from CEOs and from startup founders and from all different industries, how they were using lean and green to enhance their environmental performance. And so we thought, well, we should, you know, why not have a conference? And, you know, it's really, it would be like my ultimate goal for every lean institute in each country to have a lean green institute kind of as a part of their institute, you know, also thinking about these things and having someone, you know, plan a lean green day in each country, or even, you know, state or wherever, lean is located. And so it was mostly just an experiment at first and just a time to kind of like bring our community together, and we were only hoping for 30 people to come, and we had over 100. So I feel like that really shows that, you know, people are interested in this topic. And it was funny, one of the executive director of the Institut Léonfrance actually had to like go out to several bakeries to buy more sandwiches for lunch because we didn't have enough lunch to feed everyone. It was, I think the improvement for next year will be to maybe charge a little bit more so we can have a little bit of a better lunch. but our strategy was to keep the price just to basically cover expenses, because we really wanted to just make it open for practitioners at all levels, you know, whose company might not. Some of these lean events can be quite expensive, you know, it's like 500 euros a day. And since this was a fairly new idea, you know, if an individual wanted to come and his boss might not shell out that much money for something new, you know, we wanted to him or her to be able to pay for it themselves. So we kept the price really low just to cover our expenses and, you know, really wanted to see which ideas were the stickiest. And so we, you know, had a variety of different speakers from different backgrounds, and it was a great learning experience. We got lots of great feedback on how to improve last year. The number one piece of feedback that we heard was that people wanted more concrete examples, and I think, you know, that was difficult. I've never planned a conference like this before, and so I didn't pay enough attention to like viewing the slides beforehand. You know, the speakers just kind of told me their idea and what they were going to talk about. And I was like, okay, that sounds great. But next year, you know, I think we definitely need to dive in deeper to the slides and really work with them to prepare a really detailed presentation, because, you know, lean people, they're a little bit different than normal, or not normal, but from other people. They really,
I think that's
like
fair.
they really you know, like they like to get into the weeds, and they really, you know, like they want as much detail as possible. And so you know, I think it's kind of, it's working with the presenters next year and saying, okay, that's great, but, you know, more detail. That's great, but, you know, more detail. We need more detail. they want to see every step, you know, like if you can just lay out the value stream map, like the steps you took, that would be great. So providing concrete examples would be one for next year. And then I'm trying to think of what the other one was. Oh, we didn't give them enough coffee breaks. So.
Yeah, usually there's a every training I've done or something, there's a complaint around snacks or temperature in the room or breaks or, so those are expected.
Yeah.
So what is the plan going forward then? Are you going to try to do one every year or have more frequent ones, or what are some of the ideas you guys are thinking about for Lean and Green Institute?
Yeah, so to grow the community this year, we have been doing monthly, we call them a Green Gemba Tour. And so usually it's a small group, like 10 people or less. And we find companies who are willing to give a public tour of their operations. So sometimes it's really small. It's just been a tour of like a really small improvement, maybe at an office. You know, we see how they are reducing their paper consumption or their commute, you know, their employees commuting, or, you know, they're working on different ways step by step, but it's all from the front line. You know, it's not from HR or from, you know, if it's a small company, they don't have like a CSR team. So, you know, it's like real people thinking about improvement in their own day-to-day work. And they're willing to, if they're willing to share, it's really helpful for other people to see what they can replicate and, or even just be inspired to make a change themselves. And then sometimes it's bigger companies that we are able to tour, like the National Post. We're trying to set up something with them, like the French equivalent of like United Postal Service.
Post office.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we'll go check out more like social enterprises. So this month we're focusing on food waste. And so we'll be going to the Paris Food Bank to view their operations. But it should actually be interesting from a lean point of view because, you know, they have to work on tack time to get the food off the trucks. A lot of it has an expiration date, so they have to distribute it within a certain amount of time to, you know, certain areas around Paris. And they're also trying to be zero waste, so they're setting up a composting program for the food that is expired or is just inedible because, you know, they get all kinds of donations. And for the food that is not edible, they're trying to still save it so it just doesn't go to the landfill. So it should be really interesting. That's at the end of the month. We're trying to do the Lean Green Day once a year. So it should be in the fall this year. We're not sure. We're working on the date. Hopefully it'll be announced soon.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. I mean, the U.S. should have one for sure. I'd be happy to help.
Yeah, you should plan it.
Someone.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We should.
That'd be awesome.
That's much needed. You probably even would want to do regional ones just from the size to hit up, you know, West Coast and East Coast and Midwest maybe or South or something. I could see that being pretty effective too.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We'll talk more about that.
Yeah. How did you guys handle the language with the presentations? I saw some of them were in English, and I think some were in French. Is that right?
Yeah, so there was we wanted it to primarily be in French because, you know, just hearing a message in your native language is much more powerful than your non-mother tongue. And so the only, it was just such a great opportunity to have Steve Hope join us. And so we made, he was the only non-French speaker at the conference.
Okay.
He spoke English. Yeah. And then the others were all in French.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. 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 That's it. It gets a little tricky with the language in Europe because, you know, most people speak English, but
right.
I think to be most effective, you know, you want them to hear it in their, you want the message to be from people who speak their language. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just kind of looking at my notes here, what
yeah.
other questions
yeah,
I had.
No worries.
Is there anything else you wanted to cover or talk about?
Well, I'd love to hear more about, like, what you guys are doing, because it seems like, you know, you really have your kind of finger on the pulse of what's going on in sustainability. And, you know, I try to catch up, like, on the newspaper, but I'm not really familiar with what's happening, like, on the ground in the Pacific Northwest. So I'd just love to hear what you're up to.
Yeah, personally, yeah. I'm really just trying to get my hands around, yeah, all the different activities going on. So have you heard of the Lean and Sustainable Consortium in the UK?
No.
Okay, so
Yes, I have. They wrote a book, I think.
Kayvon Zakai?
Kayvon.
He's an author.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Yes.
So
yes, I've gone
over to that a couple times in the last
cool.
year or two. I think I've made three mm-hmm. trips over there. So I really like their format. And so my office mate here in Portland, we are trying to set up something very similar on a smaller scale, probably in Portland, to get like-minded companies together, either around an industry or at least they're all kind of thinking around wanting to improve their lean, and they already have a pretty good sustainability mindset. So
yeah.
doing some smaller consortiums like that. We're definitely kind of looking at that model and trying to show them. A lot of them might be, they already have the green mindset, like you said, because they're in the Pacific
yeah.
Northwest, and that's kind of an important
yeah.
attribute. But the lean might be new to them. So applying it directly to issues that they're having in terms of solid waste or energy reduction, but also the realizing that improving their operations will indirectly, like you mentioned before, get them some waste reduction by accident. And so kind of a win-win there, especially if they already have that mindset, then they can start to even enhance some of those improvements by saying, oh, we could also take out some waste here and we don't need that extra material and we could actually reuse that somewhere down the line. So
yeah.
So some small group
oh, that's
great. Activity like that we're trying to do. And then bigger plans. So we have a group in town as well called Lean Portland, and that's the volunteer group. And so we're working with some nonprofits here. And a lot of the work has been so far with material reuse organizations,
mm-hmm.
One around like construction material reuse or household goods reuse or electronics reuse. And so it's so they already have a sustainability focus, right, trying to keep things out of the landfill and recycle and reuse
yeah.
materials, but you get some challenges with the fact that basically it's a supply chain that you don't control. And so
mm-hmm.
you don't have set vendors per se, and you're not ordering supplies. They're just showing up at your dock, and you got to figure out how to deal with that. So you have to be very
yeah.
flexible and agile around that. So that's been a really interesting challenge to work with them on, is to try to figure out how they can be flexible and have systems that replenish the stock, you know, and change out the what's on their shop floors and what they're selling based on expiration and usage, and less
yeah.
about maybe controlling what they're ordering. So it's kind of like reverse Kanban system, I guess, is a way to think
yeah.
about it. But That's going well, yeah, and kind of the same idea. You know, if we can try to get these types of experts in each community to try to reach out to their local nonprofits and join the board or offer their
yeah.
services to these groups, I think it's great for the organizations, and personally, it's been really valuable to meet other people like myself and rewarding to work with some of these organizations. So.
Yeah.
that's been a lot of my focus lately. And we've been doing a lot with wasted food in the Portland area as well, because that's a huge, it hits all three aspects. It's a big cost problem. We waste so much energy and resources to make the food, and we lose 40% of it throughout the whole life cycle, and 20% of it after you buy it, you lose it. So, and then we have homeless problem and people who are don't have enough food to eat. And so it's just a total disconnect from a social community aspect that it's, and we're throwing in the landfill, which is creating methane, which is causing all kinds of carbon problems. So, it's I think wasted food is a major opportunity. So anything people can do to help with food banks or donation programs or composting programs or connecting up people in need with excess food from events and just being more lean about how you conduct events and conferences. I've gone to a few this year, and it's like I cringe a little bit on some of the practices that they're doing that is creating food waste. So large batch delivery systems to people who aren't there in attendance, and the food's going to waste, and they could do it a little more simplistically with some lean concepts. So big opportunities there.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Great. So you have your own consulting firm, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yep. And you're focusing on sustainability, like lean and green.
Yep. So my big push is really on around the environment. But I'm happy to work on anything sustainability related where there's like I said, the nonprofit world or just organizations that are trying to do the right thing. You know, not everyone's going to be perfect. And but if there's organizations that I've kind of been focusing my attention towards and marketing to, and there could be benefit corporations there's companies that have gone through local sustainability certifications. So I know that they've at least put some effort into looking at their footprint, looking at their usage. And if I can show them, hey, Lean and Six Sigma concepts can help you get there maybe more effectively or faster, or actually solve some business problems while we're at it, either directly or indirectly, I think I hope that message is getting out. So we're doing a lot of free workshops just to try to get the word out about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Cool. Do you find that many of the companies with a sustainability mindset or focus are, and do they also do like the ISO standards or try to reach those benchmarks?
And like the have 14,001 you helped anyone?
Yeah, exactly.
Environmental. Okay.
I'm wondering like if you've used Lean to help them achieve those ISO standards.
I have not done much work with that. Yeah, I haven't really. The company I work for, Rockwell Collins, they had gone through ISO 14000, but I wasn't really involved, and it wasn't really a lot of direct lean activity to get there. I think it was just kind of getting their paperwork aligned, and they had a lot of processes.
Check the boxes.
And they'd done some lean activity in the Environment, Safety, and Health group for years, and I'd facilitated a couple events there. So I was familiar with some of their activities, and they had applied Lean in the past, and I'm sure that helped them with getting certified at some point later on, for sure.
Yeah.
So I think, the ES&H groups, the facility groups, those are the ones I would gravitate to within an organization who they're responsible for the energy bill, and they're responsible for the solid waste disposal, and they're responsible for the trash and the recycling system. So.
Yeah.
I've been looking for those contacts within organizations too.
Yeah, I've been receiving a lot of questions from those groups, but specifically the ones trying to reach this standard. And I've not personally been involved with a project to reach ISO 14000 or 14001. So, I think it would be a nice compliment.
It's kind of like having the Yeah, it's like having a standard in place.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have something to go for. You have procedures that you've defined, whether they're right or not. At least they're documented, and then you start to work from there. And then you have some consistency. And then now when we have problems, we can go back and say, okay, did we follow the standard? Yes, we did. Yeah. Okay, now how do we address the problem?
Yeah.
So I think it's a good foundation for a lot of organizations.
Yeah, definitely. And they've kind of already thought through. It provides like a nice frame or groundwork for Lean to kind of come in and help improve what they've started.
They've got the metrics in there, the continuous improvement built into that, tracking of data. Yeah, I think it does set up nicely. It's not a mandatory requirement, but I think it does. If they've gone to that level and gotten ISO 14001 certified, I think that would be a company that would be ripe for Lean and Green for sure.
Yeah, yep, I agree.
Well, great. Those are the questions I had for right now. I'm sure we'll have some future discussions, and I would like to make it out there at some point. So maybe next year's Lean and Green Day, I can brush up on my French from high school and and pay attention to the slides, and I think I could probably get a lot of value out of it. So
You'll be fine.
But yeah, that'd be great.
that would be super. That would be really excellent. And I don't know. At some point, you know, we want to come back to the Pacific Northwest. It is home. We miss it a bit. So to eat, I miss like a real donut. They just don't have donuts here. In Seattle, there was like a. Are there Top Pot donuts in Portland? I don't know if they're in Portland.
What's it called? Top Pot
donut. It must be just a Seattle thing. But oh my gosh, I haven't had one in like 5 years, and I dream about it sometimes. So.
We have something called voodoo donuts.
Oh, well, voodoo donuts. Like
Yeah, that's our popular
one. They have like
the
cereal and stuff. That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's the little things, but I also miss like the fresh air and and my family, and you know, there's other things too. But
right.
Yeah, no, it'd be great. So it'd be fun to see if there's a, you know, we should definitely keep in touch, and hopefully there's a way that we can collaborate in the Pacific Northwest in the future as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds great.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed chatting with you and getting to know you and hearing about what you're up to, and appreciate the chance to also talk about what I'm doing. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for your time and staying up late for me.
Yeah, no worries.
All right, so I'll connect with you on email, and we'll get all the links, and I'll put those in the show notes for everybody so they can check out some of the articles, check out the website, some of the book references you made, and again, I really appreciate your time, and we'll stay in touch.
All right, sounds good.